Welcome to the Stronger Than You Think podcast. My name is Sarah Verhoff, and I have today my guest, Angie Mays, and I am so excited and just learning a little bit about what she does and who she helps. So I'm actually, Angie, if that's okay, I'm going to have you introduce yourself and just tell us. I mean, like you gave such a beautiful description earlier. I would love for you to describe what you do and who you are and, maybe a quick how you decided to do what you do. I think it's awesome.
Lovely. Thank you so much. So my name's Angie Mays and I'm a cr accredited mindset coach. I help career-driven midlife women that are feeling a little bit overwhelmed and exhausted in life, and they're ready to reclaim their energy, rediscover their confidence, and find balance so that they can thrive both at work and in their personal lives. Because if you're a woman today, you're expected to work, you have children, and things can get on top of you, and we don't like asking for help, so we kind of just plod along, and then it all becomes a little bit too much. And I'm just hoping to empower midlife women everywhere, just so that I can try and get to them before they get to the burnout stage. I started this journey because when I was 13, I worked for an employer for 16 years. He was very controlling, and I ended up working 6 days a week, 12-hour shifts. And it took over my life. So it meant that I wasn't very happy. I was a teenager living a life where I didn't really get to enjoy life, to be honest. So I was going out at 10 o'clock at night, drinking a lot of alcohol, and I lived quite pretty much a party lifestyle. So I was exhausted, depressed, anxious, and it took such a toll on me. It was a very toxic environment to live. I just got controlled by my employer. I wasn't allowed time off. I didn't have any healthy boundaries. I didn't have any self-love. And I was pretty much a people pleaser, just going along with the motions. And of course, I burnt out many times. And it wasn't just that job that I did that in. It continued in a lot of unhealthy patterns in other jobs. And I actually fell down the stairs once and I had a psychic reading. And they said to me, "It's because we're trying to get you to slow down." And I said to them,
Jeez.
"Yeah, honestly, I said, you could have told me a different way because I was off work for about 8 weeks. I did my coccyx in. I had to sit on one of those polo pillows.
Wow.
Yeah, and even then I didn't listen. It happened again, and I overworked myself because we're in a seaside town in North Devon in England. So you've got to kind of take all the work in the summer, and then you're off for a few m months in the winter. So I did it again in another job, and I ended up twisting my ankle, and I was off work for another couple of months. So
So
it
you're
was.
stubborn.
Yeah, just I didn't get grasp the concept of that life gives you lessons, you need to learn from them, and then you'll move on to the next. So I kept repeating it till my last job that I was in. I had two jobs. I was actually a TEFL teacher and working in a cafe as well. And I burnt myself out that much. I was waking up at like 2, 3 in the morning in such pain. My legs were hurting before I went to sleep. I was struggling to go to sleep because my legs were in so much pain, waking up with pain in my legs and then my back. And I was coming home from work and literally just couldn't even cook dinner. I couldn't do nothing. And when it was my day off, I'd just cry because I was so tired. So I became very irritable, and your relationships around you suffer. It just affects everything in your life. And that was like the time. Because I'd found a partner that I was happy with. I had a good home life, and everything apart from me was good. So I kind of sort of realized that I needed to change it. Like, I'd managed to do a lot of CBT in my life and managed to control my anxiety and depression and live with it and know how to deal with it. So it was something. To me, being in the dark and then seeing the light, I wanted to stay in the light, but I didn't want to go back to those times. So I decided it was time for me to put, to change what I was doing basically. And yeah, start loving myself and giving myself the respect and that I deserve. But as growing up, I didn't have like I got validation off other people. I people pleased and I did all the things that led me to burn out constantly. But I finally started to realize that actually, if I don't put myself first, I'm going to lose all, all the people around me and go back to the times where I'm depressed again and I'm not happy. And it took me 25 years to work out how to manage my mental health. So to have all this in place, I didn't want to go back to where I started, basically. So it's so important for me to create that healthy work-life balance because I understand it that it's happened so much in my life, and I just needed to like I just feel like I've woke up finally.
That's awesome. Wow, thank you for sharing all that. That's a lot. So you help other women who are you, who are where you
Basically, yeah.
were.
I go for midlife women because, like I said, it took me 25 years of all this healing, all this understanding. And I also think a lot of midlife women kind of think that it's too late. They have a lot of resentment for the things they didn't do. Their bodies are changing. They don't like that. And they haven't got a lot of self-love. So I think it's a great time to work with them because they need to realize it actually can be the best time of your life if you give yourself what you need. And we're not really taught that unless we go and find that for ourselves.
Absolutely. I love that you saw that like everything on the outside was good and you're like, but wait a minute. So why am I'm still not happy or I'm still not okay. So it's something I have to change internally. I think that takes an incredible amount of self-awareness. I don't think most people realize that. They think, well, obviously it's, not enough. I don't have enough money, or my house isn't big enough, or the clothes are wrong. Like there's always something on the outside to fix instead of looking inside. So that's really cool that you were like, okay, so what needs to change on the inside? That's neat that you were able to see that.
Yeah, I think I get what you mean because I've been in the victim mode where, like, oh, this is happening to me. This is happening. Why do I always attract toxic relationships? But as I learn, I realize that, that's what I was putting out to the universe. I was attracting that back, and it was time to, people used to say to me, oh, you need to get some self-love. And I used to think, oh, what is that? What do you do? But the more healing I'd done, the more my mindset changed, and I realized that actually, the more positive I think, then I'm not going to be depressed anymore. So I was feeding that negative thinking cycle and making myself depressed, but I couldn't realize it. It was like I had my eyes closed and I just thought all this was happening to me. And now I'm just like open my eyes and I'm like, oh, actually, I can change. I can make myself happy, which is such a gift when you know how to do it.
It really is. That's so awesome. I noticed at the beginning, I actually noticed this on your Facebook profile as well. You said that you're accredited. So tell me, I mean, I know what accredited means because I've gone to accredited schools, but to be accredited, what does that mean?
Well, I guess in the coaching industry, you don't actually need to have a certificate for anything. Because I've always grown up to need validation, I've done a lot of courses and I've needed those certificates and things like that to say, no one ever asks, but it's for yourself normally. So, yeah, doing that just gave me the insights and the confidence, really, to say I've got it. But, if anything, life experience and the things you learn along the way is so much more important. It's not just about the life experience and the certificate. It's all the other things that I listen to. I mean, we're constantly listening to podcasts and things like that. But I'm finding now that I've been doing it for so long that when people are saying something, I already know it. But that's like it lights me up inside because I'm like, oh yes, I do know what I'm doing. Do you know? It's like a little bit of a formation for me.
I feel the same way. I know I'll be walking and listening to something and I'm like, or I'll say it before they do, and I'm like, yes, we already both know this. This is so cool. I love that. I enjoy that too. That's funny that you said that. So you also made me think of when you were saying how you were overworked and you were like you kind of went from one thing to the next, and it was always people pleasing and like not for yourself. And I remembered one of my mentors said that the way you are in something is the way you are in everything. And I kind of heard you saying that in the different patterns and things that you were explaining. So how then, like you said you realized, but what was the thing that like jolted you out of it? And like, I guess maybe how were you able to take that first step? Because it'd been such a pattern for so long.
Yeah, I think it was the cognitive behavior therapy that opened my eyes a little bit. I went through it when I was in my 20s, and I honestly thought they was insane. I was like, how can you think positively? Because at the time I went for my anxiety about driving.
Okay.
So they were telling me to teaching me to think more positively, and I just couldn't get my head around it. I thought,
You're like, I'm
if it
positive.
takes
I
that,
am anxious about driving. Is that what you want?
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how I think makes me drive. So now that
Right.
I understand, when I've gone back to it, the process of literally thinking positive makes you, feel positive and act positively. It kind of was like suddenly a light bulb clicked. I was like, oh, okay, why didn't I get this before? But yeah, I just think I kind of had a toxic relationship with a narcissist, and it went so bad. I had such bad self, no self-worth. And all I kept saying to myself is, why is it happening to me? Why is it happening to me? Which is a very good sign of like victim mode. You kind of like, you can't see yourself as being the problem. You see everything else but yourself. So I think I kind of started to heal from that. I went to a course for toxic relationships and with the Women's Institute, and started learning about healthy boundaries and putting them into place, and realizing that, that everything, it wasn't my fault, but I also wasn't helping myself. I was kind of just like letting it happen to me. Like I'd let so many bad things happen to me, and it kind of just made me see that actually I can be in control of my life. I am the creator of my own story, and I needed to start telling myself a different story and giving myself that, and saying no when I didn't feel like I was being respected. And as soon as I started putting those healthier relation boundaries in place, I then met someone that was actually healthy relationship, and it was just like, wow, it's took me all this time.
It's so cool how when you change your focus, you're able to find what you're focusing on, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that you said, I love so much that you said this. I haven't ever heard put this way. I wrote it down because I loved it so much. You said, I realized that it wasn't my fault, and also I was allowing things to happen that even though, like, so you weren't being a victim. You were saying, like, this stuff that's happening, like, I'm not responsible for what's happening to me, but I'm responsible for how I respond or how I act or how I change it. And I think that's a, again, super self-aware that you were able to see sort of what part was yours and what part wasn't yours, and then what you
Yeah,
could do about it.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. In the past, I wasn't able to see that, and that's why it kept continuing. But it was just like a wake up call. No, I'm actually allowing these, boundaries to happen. And after I did the course for narcissistic abuse and learned healthy boundaries, I then met another narcissist, but I was able to just finish it straight away. Like literally it was like a 6 month relationship, and that day I finished it, the next day, like it was just nothing. I just couldn't even, do you know what I mean? Whereas before I would have been crying for months on end, and I wouldn't have been able to just close the door. But it sort of set me up on the right path to be able to create healthy boundaries for the future. So yeah, I guess I was always one of those people who just wanted to see the best in people. They told me a lie, and I believe that they change. And sometimes, you have to forgive yourself and think you did what you thought was best at the time. But now it's time to realize that actually you can make decisions that work on your favor, and that, if you get a little bit of anxiety, it's a warning sign. What's it trying to tell you? So I try and listen to my body now and work out what's going on before it gets too much. Like if I'm at the computer too long and I've got a bit of a fuzzy head, I'll go for a walk and I'll just stop what I'm doing. I'll go back to it later because I don't want to be overwhelmed and stressed. And it's all about being a bit more self-aware now.
That's amazing. That does make a big difference when you are able to be. I actually was just talking with someone about how we're so good at being distracted and disengaged from like how we're actually feeling, and we're like pushing through, pushing through, pushing through all the time that we don't often take the time to, wow, I've been staring at a computer for 8 hours. Maybe I should like get outside and breathe real air, or in your case, maybe let the rain fall on you, whatever it is. But just to remove ourselves and to allow ourselves to be engaged, like inwardly with our own bodies, to decide and really be okay with the thing that we need. I think sometimes we're like, oh, well, I need, a quick drive through of McDonald's, or I need, a pick me up of, something else. And that's not what we're saying. I love that you said, I'm not feeling good. My head's fuzzy. I need to move. I need to get up and move around. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think
Super good advice.
nowadays we're so used to working long hours, fighting against it, and being there for your employers for say like 8 hours a day that you wouldn't even question saying, "Oh, I've got a headache," or "My legs hurt now," or anything like that. You'd feel stupid. And everyone's always said to me, "You're such a hard worker," and I used to be so proud. And I thought about it this morning, and I thought it's not a good thing to be a hard worker because it's basically running myself in the ground just so I have that little bit of a raise, and it's not healthy.
It's interesting. I think that by probably by no fault of, anyone, up until this point, people have been raised really to celebrate an accomplishment. And so an accomplishment is often difficult. So therefore, if I want to be celebrated or loved, I have to accomplish these hard things. And then I'm worthy of praise, right? Then I'm worthy of the love. But in reality, existing is enough. That's actually a big part of why I created this podcast, the Stronger Than You Think podcast, and that I have a community on Facebook as well, because I think people often think that the only way to be strong is to like do really hard stuff all the time, like work themselves into the ground and bend over backwards for people. But sometimes being strong is saying no, or getting up and walking away, or having like a really short work day, or playing with your children, or spending time with a loved one. Like that is being strong. And the things that you've overcome, I mean, just that you've shared is incredible, that you were like, wait a minute, there's something that is not right. And then immediately, I mean, looking back, it's way faster, right, than looking forward for sure. But almost immediately, then you, as soon as you change that and realize kind of where your power and your strength came from, you were able to attract exactly who and what you wanted. And that's just so incredible. I love it so much. It's amazing.
Yeah,
And
well,
that you.
sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, hopefully, people that are listening to these podcasts realize that when they're thinking to themselves, when they're exhausted, I hear so many people say, "Oh, I'll be okay." And they continue and they continue and continue that they realize that they've got to stop at some point because it's not healthy. And if you're waking up dreading another day and it feels like Groundhog Day, and you are in pain and you are exhausted, it isn't going to get better. There isn't a magic wand. It's not just going to go away. You're not going to wake up next week and feel better. You have to change something. Like Einstein says, you're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It's insanity. And hopefully it brings awareness that you are important and you don't have to do everything. That doesn't make you, we're not superwomen. We're not supposed to work. Look after the children, have a clean house. It's just unrealistic goals.
It absolutely is. That's interesting. I want to ask you a question, but before that, you actually made me think of something I was thinking about the other day with like specifically midlife women, because it's funny, my sister and I, she's like, we've decided that whatever our age our mom is, that's midlife. Like the older we get, we're like, no, I'm not, I'm not a middle-aged woman like our mom is. And at some point we're probably gonna have to be like, okay, fine, we're actually there. But oh sure, that made me forget my train of thought. Hold on. I was thinking about the different roles that we play as women. So for example, like there is a point of time. So I have children. I don't know. Do you have children?
Yeah, I have
Okay.
16-year-old.
Okay. So when 16 years ago, you were 100% in charge of everything for that baby, right? We kept them alive. We fed them. We changed their diaper. We were responsible for like 100% of everything, and for really a couple of years, like entirely responsible. And I think that we're taught that, you do everything, and so we don't allow ourselves. It's almost like we're in first gear. And we don't realize that like there's like five more gears to get into. We just stay stuck there and we're like, oh my gosh, I have to take care of everything for everybody all of the time, instead of realizing, okay, now the child is two, and maybe they don't feed themselves that well, but they can. And maybe they don't dress themselves that well, but they can. And instead of like this gradual, changing of gears or shifting of our responsibility, we just carry it with us and make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I was actually thinking that it would be really helpful. And maybe this is part of what you do, I don't even know, to have somebody to be like, okay, so there's a transition. I mean, you talk about women being overwhelmed, midlife women overwhelmed and exhausted and dreading and fearful. I have notes over here. That's why I'm looking. And you help them with that. Is that something that you talk about? Is the transition? I don't know.
Well, it's different with every client, really. That there'd be different scenarios. It depends who it is, but it's basically them letting go without guilt. So, teaching them it's okay to get someone else to do something. You don't have to do everything in it, and people do feel guilty. They feel guilty for just resting. I talk to
Yeah.
people, and they're like, "Oh no, I feel guilty if I have a rest." Like, I was speaking to an owner of a estate agent the other day, and she was going to get her nails done, and she didn't want to tell them in the office. I was like, "You're the owner," and she was like, "Oh no, I feel guilty." I was like, "What, for having an hour off in your own business?" Like, it's just so common. You wouldn't believe that people just think resting is like a weakness.
And would do you find, I mean, I think you said you, this is mostly for women, what you do. Do you find that it's more women than men who feel this way?
I don't find it is, but it's just
Okay.
that I can relate to them. I
Okay.
did coach a guy last week, and he was very stressed and anxious, and I would say it's both, definitely both. I just think it's so common now for more people to be exhausted than to be energized,
Yeah.
if I'm honest. I mean, loads of my friends are walking around so tired and doing too much, so they've got to get up, walk the dog, take the kids to school, come back, walk the dog, get to work, and then pick the kids up from school, walk the dog again. Like it's like we're programmed to be robots, and the most important thing in life, not to get anxiety, is to be present in the moment. But when you've got so much to do all the time, it's hard to enjoy that moment because you're always rushing to the next thing. So what I find is helping my clients to appreciate the moment they're in and get a bit of mindful helps them to just sort of like calm back down, because the overwhelm is when you're filling your cup too much.
Yeah.
So even if you're watching a Zoom, and then you've got your child comes in and speaks to you, and then you've got up trying to text someone, and you've got all these different things going on. You might have dinner on in the kitchen. Like, we do become overwhelmed because we're just pouring and pouring in the cup, and we're overflowing, and then you'll just get irritable with everybody because you can't concentrate and you don't know what you're doing. But when you get a little bit older, like when my daughter comes in the room, I will pause the TV and I'll turn my phone over, and I'll give her that attention, because
Yeah.
otherwise I know I will get overwhelmed. You know what I mean? It's not anything I would have done when I was in my 20s. I would have been doing this, doing that. I don't know whether it. Do you know what I mean? But you realize it's better to do something 100%, be present, and then move on to the next thing. rather than trying to multitask and do everything at once and not doing everything 100% and getting overwhelmed and stressed, you might just say, right, I'm going to do this thing fast and then do the next thing.
Well, and we do it. I agree so much with that, because don't we, like, we're going to do it better if we do it 100%. I think we give ourselves a lot more credit of being really good at multitasking. We're sort of like kind of doing everything part way, you know, like nothing's really being done very well unless we are all the way in, because we only get bits and pieces of what we're hearing and bits and pieces of the information when we're focusing on a thousand different things. Yeah.
And that's how we get overwhelmed, because we say to ourselves we can multitask because we've always done it. But actually, that's what's causing the overwhelm and the stress, because we're trying too much to split ourselves 10 different ways. And we're not a computer screen. We can't have 10 tabs open and still work properly.
Isn't that the truth?
Draining our battery.
Right? Serious. I know. We need, yeah, exactly. That's so good. But it's brilliant to think about and then to put it into practice. So how then do you, I know each of your sessions and your clients are different. I mean, that's how mine are too. Like, there's not a one size fits all. There never is, because we're all individual. However, there are some principles that stay the same. Is there something that you find, I mean, obviously it's the overwhelmed and the stressed out and the exhausted, like that's what you focus on. But is there some piece of advice that you, or coaching that you tend to almost always give in the beginning to help people?
Yeah, at the beginning, we kind of just reflect on what's going on, and we get them to sort of accept what's going on and just dive into
kind of acknowledgement, like, okay, we're gonna say what it is. You're gonna say it.
But really, people just avoid their problems, and it's the first way of dealing with anything is accepting it, to try and understand it, and you know, like we said earlier about learning about your body and things like that. Like, this is what people need, because they've been avoiding it for so long, so they need a little bit of reflect. It's that, you know, realize it's not the end of the world. You know, we're on the path of success. And then, so we get a bit of clarity on the first session and get a bit clear on, like, where they want to go. Because a lot of people's problem is they haven't got clarity, and they're just, rather than having, like, smart goals to get through life, they're disorganized, and then nothing's happening because nothing's in place. Right. So I find it very important to, you know, make sure that my clients have got goals in place and that they're measurable and specific and achievable, because I don't want them to have, like, New Year's resolutions where they're not going to work 2 weeks later. You know, we kind of just put in habits slowly, bit by bit, so that they're able to create them and actually sustain them rather than they're more overwhelmed.
Right. Yeah, that's brilliant. Like the measurable and achievable. I think people tend to, I'm going to work out every single day for the next 3 months. Like, well, how often do you work out now? I haven't in 4 years. You're not going to do that. Let's do like one day for 5 minutes. So yeah, it's, and what's interesting too, I love that you ask them, essentially, like, what it is that they want, because I think a lot of times people don't know what they want. They'll parrot back what they think that they think you want them to want, or what someone at one point told them that they should probably want. I actually found myself doing this the other day, which was so annoying. they were asking, somebody was asking about like a big dream that I had. And so I typed in, you know, like, to write a book, which is fine. Like, I think writing a book would be really fun, but then I felt like, well, let me quit lying. Like, writing a book would be fun down the road, maybe, but that's not like my big dream. Like, what's my big dream? My big dream is like getting on the most massive stages and talking to like thousands of people. Like, that's what amps me up. And so it was so funny. Like, you and I do similar things, and I coach people all the time on these things, and I help them release things so that they can get what they actually want. And here I am doing the same thing, being like, oh yeah, this is what I want. And then I'm like, well, actually, that's not even what I want. Like, what am I saying? So it's funny how we can, we can get caught up in that. And sometimes just getting people to have that conversation and start talking, you know, what do you want? Oh, well, you know, I want to be happy and make money. And you're like, okay, that is so vague. Like, you can't, like, how do you know when you've ever arrived or when you've accomplished that goal? So it sounds like you do things that are like measurable and
Yeah.
doable, not like, okay, let's pile one more thing on. 'Cause I think that's what we do, like New Year's resolutions, essentially, is we're like, oh yeah, and I'm gonna do, you know, 800,000 more things. And I actually started realizing this about myself this last year, is I was like, I wanted to do less and be more focused. And the way I was doing that was adding more things. And I was like, okay, so I'm not doing what I'm saying I want to do, but it is, it's like this, like almost this like itch to be busy. And you also touched on something that I think about. So I'm also a group fitness coach and or a group fitness instructor, and I teach almost every single day. And I remind people all the time in my class with my mic on, you know, as I'm focused, that pain is a warning sign. If something is painful, you should stop. And yet, I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I think you and I both are. Like we become aware of it maybe quicker than others,
Yeah.
but we're still human. And the in real life, pain is just something to push through. But that's not why we have pain. We have pain as a warning, like it's like the red flashing, like, don't do it. It's painful. It's a problem. You should stop. And we're like, oh, cool, push through. So we're sending so many mixed
Yeah, I
messages.
tend to now. I clean my house first thing in the morning, so it could take me an hour or 2 hours. Then I'll get a bath because I know if I'm hoovering the whole house and I'm doing all these chores, I'm going to have a bad back and it's going to stay with me for the whole day. So I'll do it first and then I get in the bath.
Nice. So you're already prepared for this is how I can feel better. I have to do this thing.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I love it.
But going back to the thing about the clients, I find also when I'm working with clients that a lot of them aren't used to thinking about themselves. So they're like, oh, I don't know. What do I want? And they're like so confused because the focus isn't on them. The focus is on their employer, their partner, the kids. And when you say, like, what brings you joy, they don't know because they
Yeah.
haven't had time to rediscover themselves or find out who they are without being mum and their job title. They don't know who they are half the time. So it's so important to help re them to rediscover themselves and who they are, what lights them up, because if you're running around for everybody else, you're not going to be happy because we've all got a purpose and you need to align with that.
Absolutely. And I love that you, I don't, this probably isn't the right way of saying that you force them to think about it. But yeah, a lot of people don't, they don't think about it. And I feel like, and I'm curious what you think or what you've found, people are almost embarrassed to say what they want or to share their big dreams because, you know, when we were in first grade or second grade or, you know, a long time ago, people say what you want and you could just say it. It was fine to say, I want to be an astronaut, you know, but at some point, your dreams need to fit in like this little box, you know. Well, I live in this house, I make this much money, I'm this tall, I look like this. Therefore, the things I can want or desire or bring me joy need to be these few things. And we just really begin to limit ourselves.
Yeah, I think you're going back to the society thing, really, though. They're people pleasing. They're doing what people expect of them. Like, if I say to people I'm doing coaching, you know, my family will be like, oh, what's that? How are you going to do that? And do you know what I mean? People tend to talk other people out of it. So people kind of just stay in the lane that they're expected to stay in because if they jump out the lane, people will say something and then it will make them jump back in because they'd be scared. But, you know, if we all just went for what we wanted, we'd all be happy, but it's about guiding people through that and giving them the support, encouragement, the accountability, and literally, people think, "Oh, I'm not confident," but you actually learn confidence when you make steps in the right direction. So it's teaching people, yes, you can have confidence. You might not have confidence today, but by week 12, you'll be confident.
Absolutely. I think that's funny that we as humans tend to do that. I'll do that when I'm good at it. Well, that doesn't even make any sense. You're not going to start something when you're good at it because you're not going to get good at it until you start it.
I've worked with children for 16 years, so like I teach children that mistakes are okay. And then when I'm with adults and like They don't understand. They can't make a mistake. It's got to be perfect. And you're like, what are we teaching our children? Why are they allowed to make mistakes, but we're not?
Absolutely. Well, I actually love one of my favorite things to say, when this type of topic comes up is, the first time you walked, you were terrible. Can you imagine like yelling at a baby, be like, psh, that was awful. You think that's walking? That is not walking. That was the worst. And yet we celebrate, we celebrate that we stood up and like wobbled or whatever. And yeah, as adults, that we don't do that. Oh, it wasn't perfect, therefore I should quit, which is ridiculous. This doesn't even make any sense, but that's what we do. So I love
Yeah.
that you teach children and you teach them that. Was it, oh my gosh, who created the light bulb? Why can't I think of it? I can see him in my mind, like the pictures. Anyways, is that Edison? He said he didn't learn one way to make a light bulb. He learned like thousands of ways that to not make a light bulb. And that's really what it is. It's just this learning process of how to do something, and it's not going to look exactly the same as anybody else. That's why, when I say, well, what do you, I ask what, specific things about your clients, and I mean, there's a general rule, but each person is different, and so they have to figure it out in their own time, just like you did, just like you were like, wait a minute, hold on, everything I see is amazing, but I don't feel it. So what the heck is going on? And you had such a cool self-discovery, and I love that you're helping others to come up with that and to help them to see, essentially, to accept what's going on in their life so that they can really fix it. Because if you can't identify what's actually going on, you're just going to be avoiding the whole time, right? You're not going to be able to be in the moment because you're coping all the time.
Yeah, and we shouldn't have to feel like we have to cope all the time. We should be able to have, create a healthy work-life balance and live a life we don't need to escape from, basically.
Absolutely. And can you imagine a world that was filled with humans who enjoyed life? We would just be having fun all the time. I mean, I imagine you've experienced it like I have, not often, but occasionally you're in a group with people and everybody is just happy. It's like magical. You're waiting
Yeah.
for unicorns to show up.
Yeah, well, we naturally think negative. So it's about learning the mindset shifts to stop the negative thinking cycle and rephrasing your thoughts. And people don't understand the power of it. But once you can do that and you are more positive and more joyful, you enjoy life more. And like you say, unicorns might ride past. Who knows?
Right, I would love that. I think that would be incredible. It's funny. We definitely, so one of the ways that I put it is I say we find what we focus on, and
I love that.
be, thank you, because we do. If you're looking for all the, oh, this is so hard and it's so gross and it's so what, that's absolutely what you'll find. And what's funny is I think we've all done this without realizing, like having it not be a positive or negative. Like if you're looking to buy a new car, all of a sudden you see that car everywhere. You're like, oh my gosh, everyone has this car. And it's I can't remember the term of it, but it's something that happens in our brain where we literally are able to see this thing. Or if you're thinking about
Yeah.
a baby, everybody's pregnant. Or if you're thinking about getting married, like everybody's engaged. And it's because that is what your brain is focusing on. Mel Robbins gives a challenge of find a heart, like look for hearts. And it's fun how quickly you're like, oh my gosh, that's in a heart shape. And your brain starts to even sort of morph like a funny looking blob into a heart because you want so much to find that. So when you're helping people to focus and change their mindset on positive thinking, because that's the focus, that's what people are able to find. And it just makes
Yeah.
everything so much more enjoyable, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, if you focusing on the negative, that's all you're ever going to get, and you feel negative and you're more likely to not do anything, are you?
Absolutely.
The
So
power
let me,
of
oh, go
thinking.
ahead.
The
No, go
power
ahead.
of positive thinking.
Yes, the power, and it is powerful. I mean, Pollyanna had it right. Just look for the bright side. And sometimes things are hard. Like I don't think either one of us are saying that there aren't hard times. Like there are hard times where you're going to be sad and frustrated and angry, and those are emotions too. And also we can look for, what have I learned or what did I gain? So I don't think either of us are saying that you're never going to have a difficult time in your life because you're thinking positively. We're saying that the quality of your life is going to be so much better when we choose to think positively.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great point. It's also important to recognize that we can feel sad, angry, and all these different emotions. And that's why a good thing like journaling is good to write down your thoughts because you're able to reflect on them, notice patterns. Like the other day, I just felt really sad and really down. And I literally cried. And 10 minutes later, no lie, I was like jumping around really happy again. Because I'd let that out, I was able to enjoy the rest of my day. But when I was younger and I was depressed, I would suppress all my feelings and that would just lead on for days and days and days then. So it was just, I was actually astonished myself that I was so happy afterwards because I felt rubbish, cried, and then I was like, oh, I just need to release the sadness and I'm okay again.
Absolutely. It's really neat how quickly that works. And you actually made me think of something about journaling. I've noticed that my, and I'm curious if you've noticed this, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I noticed that when I'm angry and I journal, like my words are sharp, like my the letters, they look different. And I looked back on I was like in such, I was like happy and loving, and I was writing, and like all of my, like I didn't, my handwriting didn't look like my handwriting. It was like loopy and twirly. And I was like, oh my gosh, the way that I feel is reflected exactly. Like I can look and be like, oh, I wasn't feeling good there. Or, oh, I had to do this. Or, oh, I'm really happy here. Just even with the, I mean, not the brush strokes, but essentially like the way that I write was very, very different in journaling. It was really cool. Have you ever noticed that? Like, do you see
No,
that? No?
actually, but I get what you mean, and like you say about the way even your writing changes. That's why it's good to write it down because imagine if you was expressing yourself to someone in that angry state, you wouldn't know what you're going to end up saying, and that you don't want to be falling out with the people around you because you feel like that. And if you do write it in your journal, you're less likely to have these unhealthy relationships with
Yeah.
others.
And then you're able to
Ask
get it out and it
yourself.
doesn't stay stuck inside. So then you get so full and overwhelmed that your cup is exploding of things you don't even like. Yeah. Okay. So, Angie, let me ask you this. So, my podcast is Stronger Than You Think. And I see that what you have created and what you now do is because of a time where maybe you didn't feel stronger than you thought you were. And so I guess like as we wrap it up, because it's already been an hour, I don't understand how these things go so fast. It's absolutely insane to me. I have enjoyed listening to you and talking with you. And the only thing that would make it better is if I ran in the other room and grabbed, a Galaxy bar. But I'm curious if you have any sort of advice or something that you've thought of that you just would like to share with people about how you or how they could go from feeling that overwhelmed and stressed out to discovering that, okay, I'm stronger than I thought I was, and I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to get through this.
Yeah, that's really important. I think it's just recognizing that you are important, that you do matter, and that everyone deserves to be happy. And the longer you leave it like this, just doing the same thing, it's not going to change. And it might seem hard now because you're obviously not feeling in the best state, but just start with something small, something that works for you, not don't have to move mountains. It can be something simple like getting up in the morning, not looking at your phone, not looking at your emails, not having any negative energy, and just having half an hour to yourself every morning. And even if it's meditating, going for a walk, something that's going to elevate your feel good hormones for the day instead of stressing you out. And that's what sets you up for the rest of the day. So just start small and do something that aligns with you and that changes you a little bit by little bit, because it's all about you, and you don't have to go and meditate for half an hour every day to be happy. You know that we all have different techniques, but just, you know, remember that you are important.
Awesome. I love that. Remember that you're important and do something simple for you. Don't start your day with stress. Start your day doing something better. Don't look at your phone, because it's not a stress reliever. It just isn't.
Honestly, all of my clients, what do you do in the morning? Well, I check my emails on my phone. No, you will not be doing that anymore.
Wrong. Try again. It does make a difference. It really, really does. And it's really cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Like, this has been so fun. If people are listening and they want to get a hold of you, I'll definitely put your information in the notes so that they can get a hold of you. But is there a way you want to share that they can reach out to you? Like, what's the best way?
Yeah, the best way, I'm on Facebook mainly. So it's Angie Mays Mindset Coach.
Awesome. All right.
And I share lots of tips and strategies for overwhelm and exhaustion and things that they might be able to take away and implement in their lives to help them ease the pain.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing. I think it's so beautiful and so needed. And I thank you for all that you've been through to be able to understand and really relate to these women who desperately need you. So thank you from everyone you're helping. I know it's needed.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I always like to end my podcast and my walkie-talkies by reminding you that I'm walking with you. And in this case, Angie and I are walking with you. You're stronger than you think. All right. We'll see you later.
Bye.